Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Budgeting can help you with both saving and spending your money. Let's learn how in today's episode. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Making sense of your money, one money talk at a time. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking a lot about budgeting. Should you even do it? The Bartels are joining me today to discuss just this. The Bartels are a married couple who love talking about money, so much that they have their own show. They will share more about themselves in a moment on today's interview, but I have actually been on their podcast before, so I'll link to my appearance on their show in the show notes. But guess what? This is my 150th episode. How exciting is that? It's insane to think that I've been doing this for 3 years, because on Friday, September 20th, is actually the 3-year anniversary of my first episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. It's been 3 years since that episode went live. That's crazy. How exciting is that? This podcast has had a lot of different guests, and I've learned a ton throughout my time doing this show. If you've found any value in the last 3 years, please consider sharing this show with a friend, and so we can help it continue to grow and have more and more money talks. Consider sending them a link to my website, moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com. And guess what? I have a special episode coming out on Friday to celebrate 3 years of my show. That's right, we're breaking the weekly cycle with a special episode on Friday, so look forward to that. But I'm excited for today's episode. This is a great one where we go back to one of the basics of budgeting. I know you're going to learn a lot, and I don't want to make you wait any longer, so let's get into the money talking points. The money talking points for today's episode are: why do you think budgeting is or isn't important? And 2, how does credit card debt impact your life? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have the Bartels, and I've been fortunate enough to be a guest on their show, and now it's time to return the favor and have them on here. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. You'll have to make sure and go check out my interview with them on their show, but would you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves to everyone?
Sure. I'm Johnny Bartel. We have a YouTube channel and a podcast, and it's called Bartel's Money Talk. And we provide content every week on those particular platforms.
And I am Teresa Bartel, and I am a financial coach, and I am the CEO and owner of Bartel's Financial Coaching. And I'm so glad to be here with you today, Skylar.
Awesome. This will be great. We're going to kind of lay down the basics. We both have shows where we specialize in talking about money. So we're just going to have a fun conversation about kind of some of the basics people need to learn and get under their belt, and so they can hit the ground running. But let's start off just right out the gate. Why do you guys think people should budget?
Well, I think that's a great question to ask, Skylar. And the simple fact is, without a budget, you don't have no idea what you have coming in or what you have going out. So it's very important for people to establish a budget just for that simple fact, to kind of understand what they have coming in, their income, and what they have going out, their expenses. And when you know that, then it kind of helps you better plan for things that's going to come up.
Yeah, absolutely. Teresa?
Yes, and my thought on that is that we should have a budget because it is a safety guard for us. It's a safety net for us. And if you don't have control of your money will control you. And when your money controls you, that can equal a miserable life, that can equal depression, and that can equal insomnia. So you really need to have a budget so that you can learn how to live within your reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree, even though on the second question, I'm going to take the devil's advocate role, and maybe someone shouldn't budget. Let's say I think it's overwhelming. I think it's like too much. It's not worth it. Is there ever a reason why someone should not budget? Is that okay? Or do I need to figure out what's going on in my mind and correct my path.
You want to take that one?
Yeah, I can take it. Yeah, I think it could be a time when you may not be able to budget. For instance, if you lose your job, that could be a time that you may not be able to budget because you're not sure what income that you will have coming in, if you have any coming in at all. So you kind of have to do what you have to do to get through that spot until you actually, either get a job or become employed again before you can actually start back budgeting. What do you think, honey?
Yeah. And so what I want to say on that, for us regular people, right? I'm speaking on regular people. I'm not talking about the people who have more money than they'll ever be able to spend. They have the freedom, whatever they want to. But when you're talking about the middle class or the upper middle class, in my mind, God has provided us with this money. And it's our responsibility to be accountable for the money that we have. So honestly, if you have the money and you're not budgeting, in my opinion, that's being lazy or you have a fear of facing your reality. You don't really know how much you make and you don't want to know. So the only instances where I would say someone should not budget is like if there's a death or if there's an illness or you lose your job. The first thing you need to keep in mind is your four walls. Then you need to keep your lights on and you need to keep food on the table. Well, you're not going to be able to budget if you don't have enough coming in or you just had a catastrophic event in your life. Other than that, if you're a regular person, you need to have a budget, and there's no excuse for not having a budget unless you're just kind of like lazy and you don't want to be accountable for your money.
I really like the idea that you have to be accountable. That's what it comes down to, and doing good with the money that you're provided. Do you guys think it's a good idea to kind of have that emergency budget in your back pocket? Because you talked about those times where maybe you can't budget because it's truly like you're just going through so much. How can that like emergency bare bones budget help people through those times?
Safety net. That's what I think of when I think of emergency budget. Because, in life, there's always things that's going to come up, whether it's your vehicle breaking down, whether it's, you might have something going wrong in your house. Your children might need something if you have children. And it could be an emergency, right? And so that emergency budget helps you get through those tough times when you may not have a job or you may have to wind up using your emergency budget to pay your mortgage or your rent or whatever the case may be. So it's key to have one, because without one, you lose your safety net. And without safety net, what happens? You usually hit the ground hard. So,
And you do it. So like, speaking of an emergency budget. So for me, I am a financial coach. I call that an emergency fund. And what we recommend is a 3 to 6 month emergency fund. So it's going to be up to you, the budgeter, to figure out how much money you need to live off of for 3 to 6 months. But what I can tell you from reading books, seeing stories, that sometimes the event can be so devastating. Your 3 to 6 months budget, it could go within an instant. It could go within a week. And so in that instance, if that happens, you're really not going to be able to budget. You're just going to have to survive and keep food on the table, your lights on, and your mortgage or your rent paid. But I do stress the importance of having a 3 to 6 month emergency fund so that you can have peace of mind. Or if you do lose a job, you at least have enough time and enough cushion to where you can find a better job. So leaning off that, we highly recommend a 3 to 6 month emergency fund.
Yeah, and it's great to have that there as that safety net, like you said, so you don't hit the ground hard when things are falling down. I think that'll be the key takeaway from I'll say, don't hit the ground hard, have your emergency. That was a good one. Also, when you're budgeting, it might feel like you have things in control and maybe you start spending more money or something like that. But how does budgeting help us be patient when it comes to spending our money?
I'll go first with that one.
You go first.
Okay, Skylar, our background is we lived like the Joneses. We didn't really have a budget. You know, back then I wrote everything down on paper, but really, it wasn't a budget. I just wrote down when the bills were, and how much the bills were.
I'm just supposed to write it down. That's all I'm doing.
Right. There really wasn't a budget. But the first thing you have to do is get control of your mindset. You have to be okay with being able to live off of what you have. So if you have a budget, if your heart and mind is set on living on a budget, oh, it will give you patience. Because just take, for instance, if you want new furniture and it's $3,500, you use a budgeting app, you have a category for furniture. Well, your budget will tell you yes or no. And you're going to have the endurance and the patience to wait until you save up enough money to go make that purchase on that furniture. And if you're serious, and if you don't wait, you're going to feel self-defeated. You're going to feel discouraged. So a budget, it can definitely teach you patience, because it will tell you yes or no.
Yeah. Well, does that just make you feel bad about spending, or does it help us avoid debt? How does that balance come into this with budgeting?
If you want to get control of your money, it's not going to make you feel defeated. It's not going to make you have that negative feeling. It's going to empower you, because once you get the money that you need in your budget and you can go and buy what you want without using the credit card, to me, that's going to build your self-esteem. It's going to build your confidence. And even if you have someone that lacks patience, they might decide that they might want to go get a part-time job, or they might want to do DoorDash or something.
Yeah.
To get that money up instead of just using the credit card.
I like that. I like that realignment of what do you do when you do want to hurry things along. It's not go the wrong way into debt. It's go the right way and make some more money when you want to keep things moving along. How does budgeting help us avoid debt? How does it actually help us in that aspect?
Well, I tell you, without a budget, it's easy to slip into debt, because you are spending money that you're not sure you really have, right? So when you're spending this money, you can go out and you might be like the Joneses, because you see somebody got a car, or you see somebody got this nice fancy home, and you just go out or clothes that you lack and just spend this money, and you have no clue what you're spending. With a budget, it helps you align yourself based on the categories that you have in your budget. Say, for instance, you want a new car and you have a line item in your budget stating car, and you know what you want to pay for the car. And so because you know what you want to pay for that car, you're not willing to actually go out and get the car until you have the amount of money you want to put into the car to get the car. So you won't be into debt. So what a budget really does for you is help you kind of control the situation so you can see what you actually have. So you don't get into debt. Without a budget, you don't know. So you can be in a lot of debt and have no clue.
Yeah, it sets realistic expectations. That was what my main note from that was, is then you're able to more be truthful with yourself, so to speak. Like, you're able to say, I can actually afford this. And one of the best stories that I have of recent is my work trip took me and my wife to Tampa, and it was only like an hour and a half drive to Orlando. And because of our budget and knowing how we save money and everything like that, we're like, we're going to Disney World. And we had a phenomenal time because of a budget. Like, that's a perfect source of freedom. We had so much fun. It was a great time. Do you guys have maybe a story of how budgeting helped set your spending free?
Well, the budget has set us free in many, many ways. And the one thing that I can tell you what it has done is we've been in our house for a while. And, you know, we do need more furniture, but I've decided we're not using a credit card to get furniture because it's not worth it. It's not that serious to me. So we have a line item, okay, on our budget for furniture. Well, you know, other things have been coming up. And guess what, Skylar? If I go and look at that item now, that line is blank. There are $0 there because we've been, you know, moving it around for something else. So that budget has saved me from saying, well, I'm just going to go and finance it and get a store credit card and get the furniture I want. It really sets the tone for my mindset. And so when we do go and get the furniture, I'm going to be so happy because the money is going to be there and mm-hmm. I'll be able to get what I want. And when we leave from there, there's no debt. We don't owe anybody for it. And, yeah. And lately, we've been taking a couple of work trips with our coaching business. Mm-hmm. Guess what? We had a budget for that. We were able to eat like we wanted to eat. We mm-hmm. stayed where we wanted to stay. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a sense of freedom.
Yeah. And I hope everyone listening is like finding some inspiration from this to say, wow, that would be a fun place to be, where a work trip takes me to a certain area and I get to enjoy the local sights and scenery and things like that. Because that's mm-hmm. that's honestly a super fun place to get to. And also a thought that I had is your guys' furniture budget kind of helped keep you guys on the other side of, I don't know the full story, but it kept you on the other side of potentially a disaster. Because the nice thing about as you start saving with your budget is when that 3 to 6 months does disappear like that, because the emergency is bigger mm-hmm. than you thought, you then mm-hmm. have other couple savings categories you can pull on. Yes. And it makes it yes. so much easier to weather those storms, because maybe you're saving money for a really nice couch, but then all four tires go flat and it causes more damage to your car than you thought it would. Mm-hmm. And your whole sinking fund for your emergency is gone. But that little bit of your couch can wait 4 more months because now you need to fix this. And it honestly would have saved you, because if you finance that, now not only do you have the debt payment to the car, but you probably also don't have the money to cover the emergency. Like, there's so many things that compound interest starts working against you that, like you said, mm-hmm. that budget allows you to just be kind of saved from all of it. It makes it so much easier, doesn't it?
It yes, does. It does. And I feel in my heart, for some mm-hmm. reason, I need to add something else to this. When you for our budget, for our food and groceries, Skylar, that can be a huge expense. Yeah, and mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, I just don't feel like cooking and let's just grab something. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you have a budget, you can look on your line item and say, well, we only got $75 left for this month to eat out. Well, we won't be able to go no place decent. So you know what it does? It makes you go in your kitchen, find what you have, and you cook a meal, because you don't want to go over your eating out or your grocery mm-hmm. budget. So just to make it more simple. So, like, if your listeners don't have a budget, it's very important, like, to have a budget, because your food, eating out, and groceries can really just blow your budget out of the mm-hmm. water. So you really do need to be able to keep account of what you're spending at the grocery store and at the restaurants.
Yeah, goes back to setting realistic expectations. But even right. I like what you said there, because things are so expensive now, and it just feels like everything's right. tugging on the last few threads that are holding our wallets together, right? Everything's tugging on all at once. and it wants every dollar out of our wallet, everything like that. But is that leading people, is credit card debt inevitable? Like, is it even possible to avoid it with how expensive things are?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. In our opinion, it is.
I'm glad you didn't say no. I would have been a little, like, if you had came in here and said, no, it's not affordable, get a credit card debt, I would have been a little worried.
No, yeah. No. I'm like, I hope we don't get backlash, but you want to elaborate on that? We just don't believe that you have to get in yeah. credit card debt.
Well, what we believe is credit card debt is a choice, right? You don't have to get a credit card debt, because it ties back to what we was talking about since we kind of started the show. It's mm-hmm. your budget, right? If you have a budget, you already know your lines that you have on your budget. And if you know your lines you have on your budget, you know the dollars amount that tied to each line, especially if you're talking about like an emergency or just a normal item like clothes. So if you really want to go out and buy something, the credit card should be like the last resort. You always mm-hmm. should look your budgeting lines to what you have planned, and you use your money to purchase what you want. Because credit cards, you know, some people are responsible with using credit cards. Some people may not be responsible. They might just charge it up and can't pay your credit card off every month. But in the event that you do use a credit card, you need to be able to pay that credit card off mm-hmm. like every month. You don't need to use a credit card and allow it to accumulate over time, because the only thing that's doing is building interest mm-hmm. on what you purchase. So then you're paying more for what you purchased that could have been $20, Now yeah. you're letting it accumulate over time, and this $20 turning into $50. And so in our opinion, no.
Right. And I gotta add to that. And it's about your motivation. If you have a job and you feel like you're undervalued, you're not being paid enough, then figure out what you need to do to either get a raise or you go out and you find a better job. You may have to get a certification. You may have to go take a class. You may have to go do like an internship. But if you're mm-hmm. not satisfied with the money that you make and then you're using a credit card to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
You get in credit card debt. It is a monster to get out of it. Credit card debt is like destroying people's lives. It's destroying marriages. People are just in trouble with credit card debt. So to me, getting in credit card debt, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing that you have to do. Only thing I can say is be motivated to do better, to make the money that you feel that you need to have in order to sustain the life that you desire to have. But don't use a credit card to do that, because I promise you, a credit card, if you play with fire, you'll get burned. And if you don't have self-control, just say no to yourself or use a budget to save for it.
Yeah, going back to the budget idea, I love it. But we're also kind of speaking to people who maybe aren't in credit card debt or are teetering on the edge of it. But like you said, credit card debt is ruining so many lives, marriages, mm-hmm. all sorts of things. How is it even possible to get out of it? How do people get out of credit card debt?
Okay. I'm a financial coach.
Yes.
Yes. If I have a client that has credit card debt, the number one thing I'm going to tell them is to stop using the card. Because mm-hmm. like a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to be in credit card debt. Well, then why did you go to?
Yeah.
Right. Why did you go yesterday and buy a Michael Kors bag, but you want to mm-hmm. get out of credit card debt? So number one, you have to stop using the card. Number two, either you cut the card up or you put it in the freezer to where it would be very uncomfortable mm-hmm. or inconvenient to get that card. Once you do that, call the credit card company and see if they will be nice enough to lower your interest rate. Mm-hmm. Okay, the credit card company, MasterCard, Visa, you want to be rude to me? There are a lot of credit card companies now that are offering these transfer amounts with no fees and no interest for a year. Well, if you have to, and if you're serious about getting out of credit card debt, make some phone calls. If the credit card won't work with you and decrease that interest rate, then you mm-hmm. call a credit card that will give you no interest and you work your rear end off and pay as much as you possibly can on that card to get it paid off. So it is possible, but I promise you it won't be as easy as it was to get into it, but it can be done.
Yeah, it can be. And there's credit card companies that when you look at the promos, they offer them because they know people don't take mm-hmm. advantage of them. It ends up making mm-hmm. them more money. But if you can actually take advantage of what the credit card companies are offering, you can mm-hmm. come out ahead. So like those 0% rates you're talking about. If you can set a plan to pay your card off in a year, 18 months, you move mm-hmm. it over to a 0% rate, you just saved yourself an insane amount of money. If you can do that.
Yes. Oh, yes. And you do what, I don't care if you got to deliver Domino's pizza, mm-hmm. if you got to ask your boss for overtime, if you got the dog mm-hmm. walk, you do everything you can to get that credit card off your back, because the interest that it builds up, Skylar, some of it is like 24%. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. And if I could get 24% on an investment, all my money is going Ooh. There. That's why credit card companies, they try to put you in debt so much with the credit cards because it makes them so much money when you're paying 24% interest. That's why they can offer these 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% rewards to the people mm-hmm. who are managing their cards, is because you're paying so much in interest when you're carrying credit card debt.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then some people like to say they use it for the
rewards, but the rewards can get you in trouble.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, it's a dangerous line to walk. You have to be careful, because when that emergency mm-hmm. comes and everything seems to be hitting the fan, so to speak, and then you swipe mm-hmm. it and now you're like, oh, I can't pay it off, and it just compounds and builds. It's a debt snowball in the wrong kind of way. It's kind of like you were pushing it up the hill and it ran back over you instead of pushing it down the hill.
And look, and it ran you over flat too.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon. Yeah. Awesome. So people are listening to this episode. We've gone from budgeting to get credit card debt and staying out of it. what's maybe something that's still sticking in your mind that you would recommend someone to go have a money talk with their friend about? Like, what's a good starting place for people to ignite a conversation with their friends?
Well, with friends, and you're talking about starting a money talk, the first thing you have to realize, you know, if your friend feel comfortable with starting a money talk, because I think that's one of the biggest challenge with anybody, you know, being true about their financial picture, right? So in that, if that's the case, then one of the way you can spark those conversations is tell a story about your own financial story, you know, to your friend, and just be transparent and be saying, you know, I can remember the time I had an issue with saving my money, and, you know, and because I didn't save and didn't budget, you know, I ran into this issue and it caused me a lot of heartache. And once you do that, most of the time that conversation, it sparks your friend to kind of want to share their financial story. And then from there, you can easily share tips and just good, you know, like some things that help you along the way, kind of get you out of your distressful situation into, you know, how you was being successful and winning with money. And yeah, that's what I think, you know, that really helped kind of spark the conversation.
Awesome. Teresa, what are your thoughts on getting the money talk started? How do we move past that awkward, hey, I want to talk to you about money?
Okay. And of course, you know, I'm just going to be a little long-winded, and like the piggyback off him with friends, you know, you can also pick them up a book, a good financial book, and give it to them. And they're going to want to know, well, what is this book about? And that's going to open it up to talk about the book. And they may open up a little bit about their financial fears or what's going on with them. And then there's so much information on YouTube. Yeah. If you have a favorite YouTube show that you like to watch that gives you financial information, you can recommend that to them. And they're going to say, well, what is that all about? Yeah, you can even share a video.
Like Skylar's show.
Yes.
And share your guys' show, share my show, all of them, and then go have some money talk.
Right. So that's a good way to open up conversation too with friends. And then I want to talk about like with spouses. In a lot of cases, sometimes women, they don't know what's going on with the finances. You know, they have anxiety. They can't sleep at night because they really don't know. And really, some of them may even feel like the rug can just be yanked from under them at any time. They don't feel comfortable talking to their husbands about it. But what I've learned in marriage, in many cases, women seem to think that their husbands are supposed to read their minds. And when the husband doesn't read their mind, then they get upset, you know, and pout about it. But if you truly are a woman and you feel uncomfortable speaking to your spouse about finances, I recommend, you know, maybe you write them a note and say, just tell them how you're feeling about the finances, and maybe that'll open up a dialogue. If you have children, maybe get your babysitter, sit down and just be honest with your husband, because your spouse is supposed to be your safe place. And if you're going to have a safe place, then you need to be able to share with your husband how you're feeling about the finances. And so a lot of times the husbands don't say anything because they feel like it's their job to take care of us and to protect us. They don't know you want to know. So let's ask. And this may be corny, but you can even send a text message. Everybody send a text message for everything. Send your husband a text message about how you're feeling about the finances. You'll be surprised. He might say, well, gosh, I'm feeling the same way.
I just didn't know I could talk about it. Yeah, that's very easy. Then it's open.
Right. And marriages really are crumbling under financial problems, financial debt, and you can't ignore it. You have to talk to your spouse. That's your safe spot. So I encourage them to write a note, send a text message,
an email.
Send an email. Do whatever you can to open up the dialogue with your husband, because you don't want to be in the dark. You want to feel comfortable and you want to have peace.
Yeah, that's a fantastic place to leave this on. You want to feel comfortable and have peace with your money by budgeting, getting out of debt, having those open money talks. We've really expanded the gamut of some great conversations today. Thank you both for joining. I have two final questions here as we wrap up. The first one is, how can people find you online or learn more about you? And then the last one after you answer that is going to be, what's one thing you both wish you knew sooner when it comes to money? But how can people find you online?
Okay, well, you can find us. We have, like I said, we have a YouTube channel and podcast, and it's called Bartels Money Talk. And we come out with new content every week where we're talking about money. Like you, Skylar, we love to talk about money. And so we talk about money. And so you can find us on any of those platforms out there.
Right. And again, I am Teresa Bartel. I am a trained financial coach. And also, like, I have the former training, but I also have the life experience and the life mm-hmm. training. And currently, you can find me at bartelsfinancialcoaching.org. Our website is under construction, but you will be able to get there. So if you want to reach out to me for an appointment so that we can maybe get you set up with some coaching so that I can help you win with your money, please go to bartelsfinancialcoaching.org to reach out to me.
Fantastic. What is one thing that you each wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Well, I'll start with just saving. The saving aspect of money when you're younger, you know, when you start saving money at a young age, money to me is like a living entity. You can watch it grow. And if you start early, that means it can compound to, wow, to whatever you start with, right? Whether you start with a small amount, because it don't have to be a big amount, or whatever you have, it's the ideal of starting early. So one thing I wish is that I would have started early when it came to the savings arena, because that changes your whole life going forward.
Yeah. Teresa, what's something you wish you would have known sooner?
And what I wish I would have known sooner is about investing. And Skylar, we were probably married for 15, 16 years before I even knew anything about a stock or a mutual fund. So if I would have learned and would have known about investing, that also would have reeled over into us not getting into debt to live like the Joneses, because it would have been so important to invest our money. We would have known not to get into debt and let the interest work against us instead of for us. So I wish I would have known about investing.
Yeah. So often, I think almost everybody's answers in some sort of vein for that question of just starting sooner and getting compound interest working for you. And to go to your point of saving money younger and younger is, I can't remember the exact number, but I know, I want to say it's less than like $5,000. If you were to put that in an index fund at like for your kid when they're born, if you were to put just that amount in there, they'd be a millionaire multiple times over by the time they're 65. Like, that's the power of starting to save earlier. But fantastic. Both great answers to round us off here. Thank you both so much for joining. This has been a really fun conversation.
Thank you so much, Skylar, for having us, Skylar. Yes. And we look forward to talking with you again about
money. Yes.
Thank you so much to the Bartels for coming on my show. That was a fantastic conversation, and I had a ton of fun talking about money with them. And be sure to go check out their show in the episode that I was on. But I want to jump into the money talking points because that was a little bit of a longer interview. So let's head towards the finish line here and talk a little bit about the money talking points. The first one is, why do you think budgeting is or isn't important? This is going to be a great one to go and have with a friend, because some people are firmly on the side of budgeting not being important. And I do believe it's good to hear both sides of this story, because you can still manage your money well without a budget, albeit I think it's easier and simpler and better to do it with a budget. But there are ways that you can stay on top of your money, even if you don't have a normal, typical, regularly taught budget. I think budgeting is important, and it's become a foundation for my wife and I to build the rest of our good financial habits. So I do think everyone should give budgeting a shot, and I guarantee you'll learn a way that budgeting can work for you. It might be some sort of slightly different alternative method of budgeting, like the anti-budget or things like that, but I do think everyone can find a way to make budgeting work for them. Essentially, what it is tracking your expenses and then giving your income a job. That's what it is. So figure out some way to do that in your life, and I guarantee you're going to make a lot of progress in your finances by figuring out some way to budget. The second money talking point is, how does credit card debt impact your life? Again, another great question to ask a friend and have a money talk about, because they might be in credit card debt and so badly wanting to get out of it, but they don't know how to ask that question. So if you go to them with this great money talking point and say, hey, how does credit card debt impact your life? I heard this podcast recently that talked about credit card debt being a chain around you, a reverse snowball that crushes you. It's going to be a great conversation to have, but I wanted to share a little bit about how credit card debt impacts my life. It impacts my life with a healthy fear to stay away from it. It doesn't impact my life in a bad way currently, but that makes me very grateful and honestly completely aware of the idea of how bad credit card debt can be. So if it doesn't impact your life in a bad way, you should be very grateful. And if it does, take a second to think about what your life would be like without it. That's one of the greatest ways that you can turn the ship around and start heading in the right direction with your credit card debt is to understand that it'll provide you more freedom, more choice, more opportunity, and ability to do what you want. How do those things sound? I think they all sound pretty great. It's kind of a self-promoting commercial. Get out of credit card debt. It provides you with a better life. So make sure you are pointing in the direction that's going to get you out of credit card debt. How can you get out of it? There's a lot of great ways. The debt snowball, the debt avalanche. Reach out to me or the Bartels. I'm sure either of us would be happy to help explain to you how you can get out of debt and help you work through that. And consider getting a money buddy to help you stay accountable. But let's wrap it all up next. So of course, to wrap it up, let's all make sure to stay away from credit card debt and use our credit cards wisely. Credit card debt is one of the biggest problems that people in the world face. If credit card debt were to go away, it would completely change the economy as a whole. And so use that motivation and that like grand vision to change your personal economy as a whole and get rid of credit card debt. Your own little family economy will be completely different if credit card debt is not part of the equation. So start budgeting if you haven't already and figure out a way that works for you and use that to motivate you towards getting out of credit card debt. And with budgeting, make sure to give yourself a few months to figure it out so that you can find the method that works for you. That does it for this episode. How exciting is it that we're on 3 years of the podcast? That's so awesome. Thank you to everyone who's listened, and please consider sharing with a friend to continue to help the show grow and leave a 5-star review if you've found any value over the last 3 years. I would greatly appreciate it. It's very easy to do on your podcast player. Just find where it says review or leave a review and give me 5 stars. I would greatly appreciate it. But remember, Friday is going to be a special episode celebrating 3 years of the podcast. So look forward to that. Make sure you're subscribed and then go out and have a money talk. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.